Who do you think you are? It's an important question to ask because it will shape how you live. It's the title of a TV series where celebrities scour their family archives to learn things about who they are based on where they've come from. Often buried in the stories of the past, they find things that give meaning to their present lives today. And of course, you don't have to be a celebrity to have a story behind you. We've all got a unique set of experiences that shape our view of the world and our activity in it. But as I ask, who do you think you are this morning? I'm not inviting you to start searching inside yourself to find the most important answer. I'm hoping that we'll hear together some words of Jesus that define the Christian believer and shape how we live. I want you to know who you are in Christ. Today is Workplace Sunday, an occasion for us as a church family to think through a theology of work, and that's particularly important at the moment, I feel. Almost everyone I know has had their working life affected by the pandemic, many in quite profound ways. And when I say working life, I don't mean exclusively work that we are paid for. I mean work in a broad sense, work being those things that we do in the world that keep us occupied. So I think of the children and the young people who should be at school but are currently at home being taught and kept busy by their parents and carers. It's a huge change for them. And for those teenagers who are meant to be taking exams in the next few weeks, they've spent years at school being told that their exams are the most important thing in their lives, and now they're cancelled. It's left them reeling. Many adults are suddenly working from home. There are new challenges of isolation and disconnectedness for some. For others, new challenges of childcare and working life competing in the same space for the first time. And for those normally caring for children at home, new pressures of trying to teach and adjusting to a collapse of boundaries in the family home. And some, sadly, are facing furlough and the fear of redundancy. People working in almost every industry are feeling the effects of the economic uncertainty ahead. And then, of course, there are the key workers, celebrated now in ways they haven't been before, respected by a society that has often taken them for granted, applauded in the street every Thursday night. For them, working life is at the sharp end of this pandemic, and they're carrying a weight on behalf of the rest of us. Many will be feeling burdened or even crushed by it. And those in retirement, so often pillars of their communities, are needing to adjust to community life in isolation, with new technology to keep them connected. All of this is to say, however we have viewed our work until now, we're all having to rethink things afresh. And it's into that context that I want to bring these famous words of Jesus in Matthew 5:13 to 16. When you're feeling shaken, when the pressure is on, when your life has been turned upside down, there is nothing more important than to know who you are in Christ. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Those words come near the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. That's been described as Jesus' manifesto for life in his kingdom. It shows what life would look like if each one of us brought every aspect of our lives under the lordship of Christ, living according to his ways in obedience to him. And Jesus is descriptive of the kind of behaviour that would characterise life in his kingdom. But it's striking that he begins his manifesto for kingdom living with a series of declarations of truth before he turns to descriptions of behaviour. He begins with a list of blessings, the Beatitudes. It looks like blessing for the poor in spirit, blessing for those who mourn, blessing for the meek and the hungry and the merciful and the pure and the peacemakers and the persecuted. It looks like blessing for people who are like Christ. And so when Jesus comes to say something like, you are the light of the world, in verse 14, he's declaring a truth about his people that is a consequence of their relationship to him. Way back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 49, the Lord had made a promise about his servant who was to come. He had said, It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation might reach to the ends of the earth." God had always intended to bless the whole world as his light went out to the ends of the earth. And that promise is found in its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus himself as he comes in the flesh as God's servant. He declared, "I am the light of the world," as he brought light to a dark world marred by sin. The extraordinary message of the gospel, though, is that the Jesus, who was himself the light of the world, says the same of us. He sends his people into the world to be light there. Someone has said, there is something of the I am in the you are. It means that if you are in Christ, if you know the light of his salvation in your life, then you are filled with his Holy Spirit and sent in his name to be light in a needy and a dark world. It means that as you go about your daily labors, you do so as one of his, bringing his presence into your working life. And that transforms how you view your work, because your status and your motivations and your judgment of what constitutes fruitful work are now defined by Jesus, who he says you are and who he sends you to be. When our working lives have been turned upside down, we can find ourselves feeling inadequate on the one hand, or indispensable on the other. Jesus corrects both views. He says, "Know who you are. You are, first and foremost, one of mine." And it is as you are faithful to Jesus that you are fruitful in the world and in your work. Whatever the changing circumstances you're facing, this is where you will keep grounded and secure in your view of yourself and your work. In a moment, we're going to look practically at what difference that will make to us in our work and our present circumstances. But first, we're going to pause for a moment of reflection and prayer. If Christ is in us and us in him, we'll want to keep close to him day by day in our work. And that's going to start with prayer, humbly but confidently trusting that he is working in us and through us, trusting that he has sent us into the world to serve him there. Know who you are in Christ. That's where Jesus starts as he describes our role in our work. But he follows it up with action. And that's the theme of this second part. Make a difference for Christ in your work. And let me read those words of Jesus again and listen out for the ways in which the Christian is called to be distinctive. Matthew 5:13-16. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus here uses two common everyday images to describe the role Christians have in the world. The first is to be salt. Salt's a preservative, and in those days before refrigeration, you would use salt to cure food and to keep it from going bad. Jesus takes as his assumption that the world is on a course of deterioration and decay unless there's an intervention. And his second assumption is that a Christian presence has a positive, preservative impact. The second image is light. Light banishes darkness. In those days before electricity, nightfall meant the onset of danger. So a city up on a hill at nighttime would act as a beacon. You couldn't miss it, and you would want to head towards it, to come towards its light. Jesus takes as his assumption that the world is in darkness unless there's an intervention. And his second assumption is that a Christian presence has a positive, enlightening impact, that the light of Christ in Christ's people banishes darkness. It means that we have a commission from Christ to work for him and so to make the world of difference. John Stott puts it this way. He says, "The Christianity of the Bible is an explosive and a centrifugal force. It pulls us out from our own self-absorption and flings us into God's world to witness and to serve. That's our commission. But Jesus warns us of two dangers, two traps that we can fall into. The first is that we find ourselves compromised and therefore no longer distinctive in our Christian presence. He says, verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." In Becky Pippert's powerful phrase, we must stay salt if we're going to have kingdom impact. Non-Christian people do good work, and it's thanks to God's common grace that there is much to celebrate in his creation at large. But there is the world of difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. One works with Christ as Lord, while the other works for a different master. And we must keep close to Christ to ensure that we remain distinctively committed to serving him and him alone. That'll mean dwelling on those characteristics of kingdom living that Jesus has called his people into, of meekness and mercy and purity and so on. It'll mean living into them. It'll mean renouncing sinful or corrupt practices and working against them, even where it would be costly for us to do so. It'll mean having integrity across what we profess to believe and what we live out in our working lives day by day. Keep close to Christ and distinctively his, and you'll make the world of difference at work. Don't, and it isn't good for anything. The second danger Jesus alerts us to is that of retreat. He says, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Having the light of Christ means shining, making it known. Christians can be tempted to retreat from the secular workplace altogether, or to go incognito as Christians in those workplaces. But Jesus says the end result of that is a lack of glory being given to God. If we don't work for him in the things that we do, and if we don't speak of him, identifying his work in us and through us, then those around us will not see our good deeds, nor glorify our Father in heaven because of them. The consequence of retreat is that those around us do not know who God is, nor what he's done. They're left in the dark about him. I love the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases these verses in the Message Bible. He puts it this way: "God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine." Now, I don't pretend this is easy at the best of times. And I know how much harder it is at the moment. It's hard to be distinctive in your workplace when your workplace is your home. Hard to shine the light of Christ on a video call. I was speaking to a nurse last week who said that under all of the PPE, she couldn't even recognize who her colleagues were anymore. Hard to make your good deeds known when you can't be identified. It'll take some creativity. So what about joining those conference calls early and turning those moments into the water cooler moments where you chat about life? What about having that one-to-one and asking the simple question, "How are you?" In these days, you'll be surprised how much more honest people are with their answers and the doors it opens for love and for witness. It's not possible in every workplace, but in some, you could take that bold step of asking your colleagues how you can pray for them. They'll often give an answer. One friend was telling me this week that it was fundraising for a mission trip and feeding back to colleagues afterwards that made her Christian faith more public at work. As she worked, increasingly she could point colleagues to the God for whom she worked. He wasn't so much of a secret in that workplace then. And I have another friend who just asks of Christians, he knows this, are you public about your faith? And maybe that is a step to take in the coming week, just to let people know that you have a light to shine. Or I think of the Christian organization, which kept paying its cleaner, although the office was shut down during lockdown. That strikes me of showing the values of Christ and of his kingdom, shining light in that workplace and making God less of a secret there. Now, you will know your context much better than I do. So as I end here, let me leave you with two questions to reflect on. Perhaps these are things that you can pray over yourself, perhaps something to discuss with your family over lunch or with your life group in the week ahead. How are you staying connected to Christ in your current context? And how can you shine the light of Christ more brightly this week? And with those questions in mind, let me close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you haven't left us or this world in the dark. And we pray now that you would help us to shine as light, that you may be glorified. Encourage us and equip us to do that this week. We ask in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.